But I am going to ask you to turn in your Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. First Corinthians chapter 11. For the next few months, on the first Sunday when we have communion, we're going to be looking at this passage of Scripture because Paul goes more into detail about the Lord's Supper, Holy Communion, than any other writer in the New Testament. We're beginning this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 20. He says, "When you come together, it is not really to eat the Lord's Supper. For when the time comes to eat, each of you goes ahead with your own supper, and one goes hungry, and another becomes drunk. What? Do you not have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you show contempt for the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What should I say to you? Should I commend you? In this matter, I do not commend you. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body that is for you. This do in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever, therefore, eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be answerable for the body and blood of the Lord. Examine yourselves, and only then eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For all who eat and drink without discerning the body eat and drink judgment against themselves. For this reason, many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves, we would not be judged." Today's text contains probably the most dire warning that you'll find in the Bible. Paul writes and says, if we take these elements of communion and we take it flippantly, or we do it just as a religious act, he said, in doing so, you are actually eating and drinking judgment rather than eating and drinking the blessings of God. We are not to come to this table with a flippant attitude. We're not to come to this table with just checking off something on our church calendar or checking off something on our religious list of things that we do. Taking the elements of communion, Paul said, is a very serious action. Paul says that we can bring damnation or judgment upon ourselves. In fact, he said, because of this attitude in the church, many of you are weak and many of you are sick and some of you have already died an untimely death. So what's the issue? Well, the first issue that Paul talks about is the abuse of the body of Christ. It was a twofold abuse, but today we're going to look at just part one, the abuse of the spiritual body. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 18 through 22, we read part of it, but let me read you the preceding verses. "For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And in part I believe it, for there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing?" Listen to some of the words that Paul used in describing the attitude of this church. First thing he said is, there are divisions among you, and there are factions among you. There are those who want to be recognized among you. There are some who are gluttons, that they get there and they're so hungry, they're not willing to wait for other people to arrive. That's sort of the way I feel this morning. I had a piece of toast and I'm ready to eat. And then he says, one goes hungry, and some of you, he said, are showing up drunk. So he says to them, do you despise the church? Do you despise the body of Christ? Do you shame those who come? Just like Kristen was sharing this morning, do you shame those who come to this meal and they have nothing to bring to it? I mean, what a chastisement, what a rebuke to this church. Divisions among you, factions among you. Some of you want to be recognized. You want to sit at the head table, he says. Some of you are bringing food and you're not sharing it with others. You decide you'd bring steak and you're not going to share it with the guy who only brought barley soup. You're like, no, man, this is my T-bone. Some of you, he said, are showing up drunk. And by doing so, you despise, you show hatred toward the church. The church is his body. Listen to what Paul said in Romans 12:5. He said, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 17, for we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of the same bread. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30, we are members of his body, of his flesh and his bones. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. You know, I'm amazed when I read of people who cut themselves. You know, it's a psychological abuse, psychological something is just not right, and so they cut themselves. They bring pain and inflict harm upon themselves. And I will tell you, I would never be one of them people. I always try to look out for myself. I don't want to hurt my body. In fact, at night when we, you know, when you get up out of bed to go to the restroom, I walk very slowly. I put my hand on the bed, I follow it down to the end of the bed, and then when it ends and makes that turn, I start going this way, and I go all the way to the end of the bed this way, and then when it turns heading toward the restroom door, then I go, because I don't want to stub my toe and wake Sherry up with my screams. Yeah. If I'm nailing a nail with a hammer, I don't say, you know what, I wonder what it feels like to hit your thumb with a hammer. Let me do that. I don't do those kind of things. I try to watch out because I don't want to bring pain on my body. And we're to have that same attitude toward the body of Christ. I don't want to bring pain on the body of Christ. I don't want to bring pain on the universal body of Christ. I don't want to bring pain upon Pisgah. I don't want to bring pain. I want to bring blessing and admonition and encouragement and exhortation. But when I criticize somebody in the body or I attack somebody in the body verbally, I'm bringing pain on the body of Christ. I would never think of cutting off a finger or poking my eye because I don't want to sin against my body. And in the same way, I don't want to sin against the body of Christ. The writer of Psalms, the 133rd Psalm, said this in the first verse. He said, behold, how beautiful it is when brethren dwell together in unity. There is nothing more beautiful in the body of Christ than when the church is united. And there is nothing more powerful than when the church is united. And what brings us together is not theology, it's not doctrine, it's not tradition, it's not ritual, it's not that, well, we believe in this and they believe in that, and that's why I would never go in there because they don't believe in this. No, those are not the things that bring us united, that bring us into unity. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11 said this, finally, brethren, farewell. Be complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Did you hear that conjunction, that word and? What Paul said previously? He said, if you do these things, then If you do all these things, and the God of love and peace will be with you. So what are the things that we are to do in order that the God of love and peace would be with us? We are to be complete, which simply means be mature. We're to be of good comfort. We're to be of one mind. We are to live in peace. And he said, if you do those things, then the God of love and peace will be with you. Peter said this in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. He said, finally, all of you, be of one mind. Have compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tenderhearted. Be courteous. If I want to maintain unity in the church, it doesn't mean that we just follow like we've got a dictator and we have no role, we have no voice. No. But it means that we understand that the important thing is the unity in the body of Christ. The important thing is that the God of peace and love would be with us. The important thing is that we remain united, that we have one mind, that we have compassion for one another, that we love as brothers, that we are tenderhearted, that we are courteous one to another. We are in the process right now of putting together a building committee with the idea of, at a point in the future, we're going to come to you and say, or they'll come to us and say, we believe we should do this or we believe we shouldn't do this as far as the expansion of our fellowship hall. And so they'll bring a report that says, yeah, we think we should do this, but it's up to you. And so I'm going to close today not by saying that you need to be for it, but what I'm going to say is this. Any time a church, as an individual church, begins a venture, the most important thing is not whether they build a building or not. The most important thing is not whether it has tile or carpet or an A-frame or a B-frame or whatever. The most important thing is that regardless of what the church decides to do, they're united. They still love each other. They still serve together because they understand that the building is not the church, that we are the church. Our success is founded in unity. Paul said this, and I'm closing, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. Paul describes unity in the church. He says, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. When that happens, we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Paul said to the church at Corinth, how can you come to the table of the Lord and take that bread that represents His broken body and take that cup that represents His shed blood and be divided and have factions and be backbiting each other and tearing each other apart? When you and I come and kneel to this altar, we come recognizing that Christ died that there would be one body with Him as the head of it. So, we're getting ready to come to the table of the Lord. Before we do, I'm going to give you just a minute or so to do exactly what Paul said we were to do, to examine your heart. And if there is something in there towards somebody, before you come to this table, You need to get that corrected. Whatever it is, if it's an attitude, if it's somebody who's done you wrong, if it's somebody who mistreated you, somebody who took advantage of you, somebody who lied about you, somebody who has tried to harm you, hurt you, you got to let that go. And I know that sounds very flippant, but you can't carry that in your heart. So let's just bow our heads. Father, we recognize that maintaining unity is not reciting the Apostles' Creed together. Maintaining unity is not saying the Lord's Prayer together. Maintaining unity is an act of love, and it's an act of sacrifice. Forgiving, Lord, is an act of love, and it is an act of sacrifice. Letting go the desire to get even is an act of love, and it's an act of sacrifice. Lord, we come today and we present ourselves to you. And I pray, Lord, in my own life, if there is in me ill will toward anyone, toward any situation or circumstance from my past, Lord, I ask you to forgive me for carrying that, and I release that person and I release that situation into your hands. Lord, I don't want to be judged by you. I would rather judge myself than be judged by you. So, Lord, I come to you with what the Psalmist David said. He said, "Search my heart, O God. See if there be any wicked way in me." Search our hearts today, Father. As we come to this table, Lord, we don't want to come to this table simply because it's the first Sunday of the month or because this is what we do, because it's our tradition. Lord, when we come to this table today, we want to come in reverential awe of who you are and of what the elements that we're going to take really cost. And may we not come, Lord, with anger toward others, with malice toward others, with the desire to revenge on others in our hearts. Lord, may we come to this table as an act of love, as an act of unity. In Jesus' name. Ken, would you come and help me this morning?